Mama got mad at Papa, 'cause he didn't bring no coffee home. Mama got mad at Papa, 'cause he didn't bring no coffee home. She said, "Old man, don't you know? Don't you know you done wrong?"
Troy Lupus of Broadway, Virginia, loves coffee, and he and his wife own Tiny Lucas Roasting Company. To kick off our conversation, I asked Troy to explain both what he does and why he does it.
Okay, Lucas Roasting Company is a gourmet coffee roasting business here in the Shenandoah Valley in Broadway, Virginia. And we have built our business model to insist that we are delivering the freshest product to our customers as possible. So we wait until we receive orders from our clients, which would be coffee houses, restaurants, our online orders. And then we roast the order after we receive it, because coffee is a product much like fresh artisan bread. It's good within a certain time period. And after a certain time period, coffee actually begins to lose its flavor. So when you go to the supermarket and grab that whatever brand name it happens to be, it's probably been warehoused and then shipped and then sitting on your store shelf. Our coffee has a roasted on date on the front of the bag. And from what we hear, people are really happy with the results of that.
How in heaven's name... You know, I tried to schedule you, and you are running around like a maniacal bumblebee most of the time. You're a hard guy to schedule. So how in heaven's names did you get into this business?
It was a little bit of a hobby. I used to live with my wife up in New Hampshire. We lived up there for about a year. She is from there originally. And I had a job up there and a supervisor who he and I had this coffee fascination. So we talked coffee all the time. And in college, it was a fascination too. A roommate and I lived off campus. We actually threw some alternative parties. And instead of having the traditional fall down drunk parties, we had coffee houses at our off campus house. So my fascination with coffee is long lived. And after I graduated and after I did a few other things in life, I came into this hobby of small time coffee roasting at home for our family.
Stop a minute. What is there to be fascinated about with coffee?
Oh, my goodness. I could be here for an hour. Coffee is such an interesting industry because, like a lot of things now with our food that we eat, it is global. So coffee doesn't really grow in the contiguous United States. In Hawaii, it grows. In Central America, it grows. But in the United States, we don't really know what a coffee plant looks like. But it grows around the world, 20 degrees north, 20 degrees south of the equator. It is one of those things that ties our world together. It's something that and tea. There's so many different cultures out there that are raising these crops, that are growing these crops. But in the differences that they have in the cultures that they are in are also the similarities that we share as humans. And that's one of the things that fascinates me with coffee is what ties us together. I look for similarities a lot of times to try to find what ties us together. Coffee is one of those nice things to tie the world together, to tie a human and a human together, whether we have differences or not.
It's common ground.
Common ground.
The global common ground of
coffee drinking.
I like that a lot. Okay. I rudely interrupted you when you were developing a hobby of roasting for your family.
Right. So my wife and I, we have always liked good coffee, and we learned that you could roast coffee at home. So we explored that, and we moved from New Hampshire back to the Valley. Had our first son, and the coffee roasting became a little bit of a hobby. The hobby became a fascination with our family, with all the different nuances we were tasting when we were drinking the coffees we roasted. So the coffees from Colombia, the coffees from Sumatra, all of them having a different tone, you know, what they were bringing out in themselves, what was inherent in them, and what we were cultivating as we were roasting them. And it became a fascination. And we started a small business.
Stop a minute. The first time you roasted coffee, how did you do it? How'd you end up with some green coffee beans and
right.
How'd you cook them?
Yeah, well, the first time I did a lot of research on the internet. Our son is now almost 9, so this was 10 years ago that we began exploring this. And it was just a search of what were people doing then. There wasn't a lot on the internet about it back then. There was a little bit, but not a lot. So I actually splurged and got probably one of the best devices to roast coffee at the time. It's called a hot top coffee roaster, and it's much like the drum roaster, the large drum roaster that I use now commercially. And that's what I decided to start out in because it was most like what I envisioned what I could possibly do like I'm doing now.
So you already had in the back of your mind starting a business?
I did. I've always been an entrepreneur and have been shifty in jobs, to say the least. So, you know, I get behind somebody else's dream and I do for them what I can, but I've always got in the back of my mind my own dream. And this really turned into a consuming desire.
To produce your own coffee.
Yes.
Roasted coffee.
Right. So we did form a small business back when our first son was born. What we found out about that was that having a full-time career and having a hobby business on the side and having a new baby, it was a lot overwhelming. Crazy, crazy. Yeah, we drank a lot of coffee.
Mama, she was sitting there seeing the peoples go out and in. She began to drink coffee and said, I'm going back here again.
Back after a break with more coffee talk from Troy Lucas and a Jeff L. essay about weeds.
You know, Mama was mad, but our sweetie seen. She drank black coffee and it was without a drop of cream.
This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. And even the Muppets are all about coffee these days.
But to start things off, let's take a trip to everybody's favorite hangout, where the Java's hot as lava and the mocha is no joker. The local coffee emporium.
We're all drinking way too much coffee.
Back before the break, we were hearing how Broadway's Troy Lucas, ably supported by his wife, Jenica, went into the coffee roasting business seriously right after the birth of their second child.
It was an intense time in our life, but we did participate in the Harrisonburg Farmers Market back when the Harrisonburg Farmers Market was down underneath the parking deck a long, long time ago.
Old timers.
Yeah. We had our footing at the Harrisonburg Farmers Market way back when, and we had coffee and we also had biscotti. So we would roast. I don't know, maybe 6 or 9 pounds of coffee, maybe, is what we ended up with, taking down to the farmer's market on a Saturday morning. And then we'd have some gourmet biscotti. And that was kind of the primary part of our business, was a gourmet biscotti business.
Did you make the biscotti?
We did. We had 12 recipes handed down to us, gourmet biscotti recipes that were handed down to us.
From
a friend who had a good Italian source that it was good stuff. So it was really good stuff. And we would have kept doing that had it not been too much, because as local bakers will tell you, we've got some great artisanal bakers around here. They will tell you that it is also a very time-consuming thing, and you have to do everything at the right time. And it became, with a full-time career, working till 2 in the morning, having a little baby that, you know, also consumed part of our time, and not getting to spend as much time with our family, was it really got in the way. So we decided to kind of put everything on hold and just go with our normal careers and put the coffee and biscotti aside.
What were you doing at the time?
I was actually working over at VMRC. And I was working in Heritage Haven, and I was working with the older adult community over there.
Okay. You said goodbye to the coffee.
Well, we didn't say goodbye. We said, we're going to continue to use you at home. The biscotti is what kind of went by the wayside. The coffee roasting actually continued, and we did that for friends and family, and we continued to take lots of notes, copious notes on what was happening to this roast and this bean, and So we really developed what we liked, what we didn't like, and
you were in a research phase.
Research, right. Research and development, I think they call it.
Yes.
So, and you're going to like this. At the time that we left everything and put it away to the side and went to our normal careers, our second child was about to be born. And we decided that it was at that time that we wanted to go ahead and start the business that we're now in.
Oh.
So going from one lesson learned, we traveled down a road and decided to revisit that again. And as our second child was born, and he's now almost six. We had been in the planning phases of everything, and we were renting our house, and we really wanted to buy a house. So we were looking around the area with the intention of opening this business, but with the mindset that we had little kids and that they were going to be an integral part of what we were doing. We were not going to separate ourselves from them so much to go to a career anymore. And we bought a house that had a storage shed on the property. And when we saw this and the house, we really kind of fell in love with how it was set up. After we bought the house and we moved in.
And this is in Broadway?
This is in Broadway. Our neighbors occasionally will put up on Facebook that we're roasting coffee late, and people will say that they smell it in the neighborhood because during the daytime, most people are gone to work. But when they come home at night, they can still smell coffee roasting sometimes. But we tore down.
They like that.
Oh, it's not what you think. Coffee roasting is, when you think of coffee, you walk into a coffee house and you get that immediate wafting of, wow, that's just the most awesome coffee in the world. It doesn't smell like that while it's roasting. Some people have said, well, it smells like burnt toast. I grew up in the Midwest, and I compare it to some of the grain smell. So the drying grain, and obviously as the coffee gets darker and goes to the full roast, it gets a little smoky. It's a unique smell. We haven't had a single neighbor ever complain that they don't like the smell of the coffee roasting, so I'm grateful for that.
That's the reason him and Mama, they begin to get along, because she know what this coffee mess all about.
So we tore the existing shed that was there down. It was a very small steel structure that was actually falling apart, and we actually built our structure around that footprint of that old structure, saving the concrete. We're very green-minded in our business plan and model. And we could have moved the shed to the front of the property, which would have been a lot easier for incoming deliveries. But we wanted to recycle the concrete, so we did. I have a psychology degree, but building was still in my blood after we had been up at a Habitat for Humanity job site in Pennsylvania. So I worked with them for a while, and I learned how to build post-frame buildings. And it came in handy because I went ahead and I built a roasting facility by hand. I only had a little bit of help when we were putting the roof on and the trusses. I needed some people to help me out with those kind of things. My wife would probably tell you it took about 2 years to build the 24-foot by 24-foot building because I was doing it on my off time from work. So my neighbors saw us working out there in the dead of winter, trying to get things done. And again, our second child was born in that time frame as well. So now, though, our business is based at our home. We have permission from the town of Broadway to be doing what we're doing. And it's something that we enjoy, knowing that we don't have to separate ourselves too much from our children. You know, one of the things that business does, work does, is separates us from the greatest responsibility that we have, which is raising our children. And we took that into account. So maybe one day we'll get to move into something that is bigger, as we are outgrowing our space. But for now, we're nestled in there at home, and sometimes we work late at night, and sometimes we don't.
You do this full-time now.
I do this full-time. We turned the key on our business in September of 2007, so we are almost 5 years old.
And still here.
And still here. And we hear that is, in and of itself, pretty amazing.
For a small business.
For a small business, yeah. Now, it has not been without struggle. But we have thrown our whole life into this. This is something that we really wanted to do. It goes way beyond just the coffee, because you can go to lots of communities around the U.S. and have a great cup of coffee. There's phenomenal roasters out there. And, you know, some really big names in the industry have made big names for themselves. But for us, it goes a lot further than that. It goes to the core of communities. We see people come together over a cup of coffee. We see people sit down, like you and I are here in the studio, face-to-face over a cup of coffee. And in a digital age, it's a pause. It's a pause that helps us reflect on what's going on around us. So I really like the coffee industry for sometimes it peps us up, and sometimes it causes us to slow down a little bit. One cup of coffee. I will first say that I'm really blessed to have my wife by my side. She has a full-time job. It's a small business. It's a family business. It is something that we have to work at a lot to make go. It isn't something that we can just set aside and think that it will miraculously grow without us. We have to really work hard. And the coffee community has some of the most beautiful people. I mean that figuratively, but I mean that very literally too. The spirits of people when I travel to Origin, for example, a trip to Brazil.
When you travel to Origin, when you travel to where the coffee beans
That's right.
come from.
That's
okay.
right. So when I actually travel to Origin to meet the people, meet the farmers that are growing the coffee that we are supplying to the local coffee shops, that has real depth in meaning. For example, in Brazil, the trip that I took to Brazil with some other coffee friends, we met and tasted coffee from probably 41 different farms. And we met the farmers, and we had conversations, and we saw multi-generational families. We saw, I have slideshows of, you know, all the pictures I've taken. And one of the things that stands out to me is their family looks like my family. Their kids enjoy the same thing my kids enjoy. And it's, again, it's that connection, that global connection. So going to Origin, talking to them, understanding that this is a business. We're in business to make money, but also understanding that it goes way deeper than that to the relationships that we have. And relationships go deeper too. And let me explain that, because sometimes, just like we in the U.S. have an off year for, let's say right now, the local peach farmers got hit pretty hard with a frost. So a lot of the local peach farmers are looking at crop failure. Well, that happens worldwide, too. So there are good years in coffee and bad years in coffee. But if we have a relationship with a farmer in Nicaragua, or if we have a relationship with somebody in Brazil, and we've forged a deep, long-lasting relationship, we want to continue buying their coffee, and we might lower the price on it, but we want to support them. So it's a structural, a structural relationship. That goes beyond, I have the best product out there. Well, we hope to most of the time. And a lot of the coffees that we bring in, we think are really excellent coffees. But, you know, some of the small farmers that we're starting to work with, they need to improve their coffee. They want to improve their coffee, and we would like for them to improve their coffee, but somebody's got to give them a shot. Somebody's got to give them a start. And if it's really bad, we're not going to buy it. But if it's kind of on the cusp, we might. And we might offer it at a lower price and explain to people we're working with this farm as a relationship to try to grow them into a better coffee farming community, just like any industry. So for the industry of radio, you develop friendships within the industry and you develop really close friendships. It's the same for coffee. There's lots of different ways that relationships develop. Obviously, somebody knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. That tends to happen a lot in life.
So you'll add to the local color, serving coffee with a cruller. Dunking doesn't take a lot of skill. They got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. Man, they got a gang of coffee in Brazil.
You'll find a link to the Lucas Roasting website on the Spark page at WMRA.org.